listening to Calcio Talk on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Calcio Talk. It's been a while, boys.
How's it been?
You know,
I don't think it's not been as much of a while as the last while.
What is this, lockdown 5.0?
This was lockdown 5.0, as they're calling it.
Yeah, Mumbo number 5.
Yeah, that's it.
Talking about number 5, actually, I just forgot to put in. We've got our 50% off sale running. Today's the last day. So head to our website, culturalclub.com.au. There's not much left, so get in there quick.
A few teas left, actually. Yeah. So get them in before summer. Why not?
So, yeah.
Nice.
As we were saying.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's been, it's nice to be back. But it's we're in that sort of weird period with football. It's gone a little bit stale. I mean, the Olympics are on. It's a bit of football to watch.
Not great, but
you know.
just put it in there. Not great.
It's better than nothing.
I like that you speak your mind, though. That's good.
I've got to be honest on this show. You know what I mean?
No, fair enough. To be fair, with the Olympic football, I kind of do get excited about it because
it's football.
We look at number one. It's football. Okay, that's a good start. But also, if we look back at it, let's say 8 or maybe even 12 years from now, will we be looking at it the same way we look at the Atlanta 96 or the Beijing Olympics 2008, I'm pretty sure, where like Messi played at Beijing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Neymar won the 2016.
Yeah.
The 96 Atlanta final, Ronaldo, R9, phenomenal, played for Brazil. And Nigeria, I'm not sure if they had Okocha, but they had Kanu playing. And they were young then, like young.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously 94 World Cup, I think Ronaldo was 17 at that World Cup. So he'd only been 19 at this Olympics in 96 Atlanta. So in that respect, if you look at it that way, it could be interesting when we look back at it.
Definitely. There's always like, you know, your big players that have played Olympics and you know, it's nice to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
There's always a decent game. I mean, like you said, it's not the best football, 100%. But they're young.
I'm putting it out there, but if Spain don't win this, because look, that team's a joke.
Yeah, they are stacked. I think someone told me during the week, actually it was Oscar, my good friend from Spain. Mm-hmm. He told me during the week that the differences in terms of value of the Spanish squad and all the other teams that are in the Olympic football is something like 200 million euros difference.
Yeah. Well, they have to win.
World-class players. Well, let's go on to then the off season. There's been a lot of transfer talk. There's been a lot happening. So I want to get your thoughts. Ronaldo staying at Juve. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Good move. I thought it was always going to happen, but did you think he was going to stay?
There was a time where I thought he might move to PSG.
Yeah?
Yeah, because obviously look at the team PSG is starting to put together. I mean, we'll talk about that as we go down the list of transfers here now. But look at the team they're starting to put together. It's turned into a bit of a Fanta culture. You know what I mean? I'll use the word Fanta culture on this program. Yeah. We won't say fantasy football. Yeah. You know, a bit of a Fanta culture, a bit of a FIFA Ultimate Team,
literally,
that kind of stuff.
You literally handpick who you want.
Yeah.
I don't know what financial fair plays to PSG, but anyway, that's another story.
I think they're outside of it. I think they're running their own league. Yeah, they're already in the Super League.
So,
that's where I thought Ronaldo was going to end. However, I think, like you did say before, Matt, with Allegri coming in and the rules that he sets and obviously him there managing before previous players that are still with the team that managed underneath or that played underneath him, I think it could be a big reason as to why Ronaldo stayed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, well, I said it to the boys off air before. I know I'm a Milanista, but I think Juve is going to be dangerous this season.
Oh, definitely. I think with Allegri coming back in, there's you know, you obviously see bits and pieces on Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of it. I think there's some sort of a different...
There's already a vibe.
Different feel about Juve already. The season hasn't started, but, you know, you look at their front three and bloody hell, like,
it's
you got Ronaldo, Dybala and Chiesa, informed Chiesa from a massive Euros.
Would give him huge confidence from that. It would have taken huge confidence from that.
Yeah.
And I think Dybala is going to be the focal point as well, which he hasn't... He's had a very on and off type of year or two, you know what I mean?
Well, he's been like that since Ronaldo arrived at Juve.
He has.
Because before Ronaldo arrived at Juve, Dybala was the man.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
He was the joyer, you know, that everyone was talking about.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it's true.
Another point I'd like to make, I understand you support AC Milan here.
Yeah.
Ale supports Inter Milan. Is it just, though, something that other teams, fans or supporters like to do, that they elect another team, they say they're going to win the Serie A? So
I do.
You're not as disappointed. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's more of a superstition thing for me. Anyway.
Yeah, because you guys were the same with the Euro, with Italy.
Look, it is for me, but I think me, realistically, as a Milan fan, I still think we're maybe a year or two away. So I'll,
okay.
Look, if we were to go and win the league next year, of course I'm going to be happy. But I'm not for me, I'm not basing our whole season on us being champions.
Yeah.
Whereas Inter maybe is maybe a different story. You maybe after being champions, you're going to want to back it up. You know what I mean?
Yes, but I mean, I think we've mentioned in the past the way we're going.
Yeah,
I mean, not too many, big players have left. We've lost Hakimi, obviously. I mean, we're trying to retain who we can. Inzaghi coming in, is it a step back? Isn't it? I don't know. I just want to wait and see.
Do you think you'll keep Lukaku?
Yeah, I think he's untouchable. Yeah.
Because there's a few clubs that made bids, right? And there was a big bid made by Manchester United. Is that right? No.
I'm actually not sure.
Look, just judging by his pre-season interviews and what the media is saying and what Interhouse media is saying and everything, he looks to stay put.
Because he was incredible in the Euro too.
Oh, yeah. But I think he honestly really loves the club.
Yeah, there is a good connection with.
Yeah, so I think, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I agree. Do you think Lautaro will stay?
At this stage, yes. But, man, we never know with it. Look, there's always a surprise.
I think the difference between Lukaku and Lautaro is, before Martinez signed to play for Inter, where had he played previously? It was only South America, wasn't it?
I think straight from South America.
Yeah.
Because Lukaku went from Anderlecht to Everton. Did well at Everton, then to Manchester United.
I think he was at Chelsea.
Oh, he's young. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Because he was there with De Bruyne and Mo Salah. Yeah. Yes.
But apparently he's no good for the Premier League.
Apparently he's no good, right?
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. When he was at Everton, he was still playing well.
He was.
When he went to Manchester United, I feel like he still played well. But now that he's gone to Inter, I think he understands that environment is very important.
Yeah.
Mm.
Whereas a player like Lautaro, maybe he's a little bit younger, maybe he hasn't had that experience, you know, like he's gone to Inter and it's worked for him.
So you
have the feeling that like wherever you go, it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, that could, those kind of things can play a difference in terms of like if a big club makes a bid and it's a dream club.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Of course, that pulls on the heartstrings.
You know, it's a lot more emotional.
That's right. You think about changing that. You know, that could be the only difference.
Yeah, definitely.
But look, I hope Lukaku stays. Yeah. I love watching Lukaku at Inter.
So, I've just got some comments here, just quickly.
Already?
Yeah.
Hi, James. That's the last segment.
Yeah.
Oh, people just saying hello.
Michael Long, what's he got? Glad you guys love my Panini Italia 90 sticker album.
You do, Michael.
I sure do.
He's got a Panini sticker album.
Yeah, he sent us some on Instagram.
From Italia 90. Oh, my days.
Unbelievable. Did we repost it, didn't we?
Yeah, we reposted it.
I think, look, let's just talk about this for a second, right? Yeah. Panini sticker albums, because there's people in the world that will never understand just how good it is to have a Panini sticker album. Now, every international tournament, I usually get super amped and excited about the Panini sticker album. I actually did a collaboration on Instagram with Panini for the 2018 World Cup. They sent me all these like boxes and albums and so forth, and I handed some out to young players that I coach or to the community. And then I tried to complete it, the 2018 Panini sticker album, but I couldn't. I didn't have enough, like didn't have the matches and stuff like this. I actually completed the 2006 World Cup one.
It's
back in Perth, Western Australia. Yeah, it's got Ronaldinho, Kaká, young Cristiano Ronaldo. This kind of like that kind of culture of collecting the stickers and sticking them in the book. People don't get it, man.
Yeah.
People don't get it. When I was playing in Spain, 2014, I started collecting Adrenaline. So Adrenaline is a bit like Match Attacks.
Yeah.
It's the cards of the La Liga players.
Yeah, yeah.
I had like Ballon d'Or. Like, so that was like the premium level of the card. They didn't call it like gold, silver, bronze.
Yeah.
It was called Ballon d'Or. And then there was like, I think, La Liga or Legend and things like this. I had Bale, Neymar, Ronaldo, Messi. Incredible collection, mate. I spent many euros, silly euros.
When we went to Italy, on making collections.
We
spent like over 200 euros. It was like the 12, 13 CDR that were there or something?
Yeah, I think so.
We spent 200 euros. I like that.
But I don't know where they are now.
Yeah,
I know. that's the thing is, them. Like, yeah. keeping a hold of them, yeah. it's tough.
It is hard.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I always try and get the Panini sticker album.
Going back to transfers here, actually, James makes a good point. Shaqiri to Lazio.
Shaqiri to Lazio. So, there's some good comments on there.
Emilio's chimed in again.
You want to read it out?
Emilio.
My nonna is collecting Aussie Olympic hero stickers.
Oh, yeah. Those are Woolworths.
Yeah,
to be fair, those are Woolworths.
Emilio, can you tell us?
She doesn't know what they are.
Emilio. Hey, yeah. He's always got something good to say, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
always something for the fans.
Yeah.
Lazio.
Let's talk about Shaqiri to Lazio.
Yeah.
I think if... Because they got Felipe Anderson, didn't they?
Yes, I forgot about him. They do have him off.
Lazio, Felipe Anderson, Luis Alberto.
Correa. Ciro.
Immobile, yes.
You know what's funny though? Like, I've been... Obviously, I try to keep up with the Italian media and whatever. They're still writing him off, like Lazio. They're saying...
Yeah,
like,
they don't like him.
Nah, look, I think that definitely a chance for a Champions League spot. Definitely.
100%.
I mean, obviously, it's early days, but with the type of caliber players that they're interested in signing, they're building a pretty good team, on paper anyway.
100%.
Who's their manager this season?
Sari.
Sorry.
Another Inzaghi, they played attacking football, so they're going to love this.
It's going to suit.
They're going to love the players that they have, love attacking football.
So, what do we have?
Michael Ong, Emilio Bongiovanni, mate. It's good, but Panini is made in Italy. You're a good man, Michael. You're a very good man. But also,
guys, look. Let's just tell anyone who's on at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyone who at home. Sorry, I'm talking to the phone up there as well. The last 20 minutes of this program, we're going to do what's called basically comments under. So if you leave a comment and we can address things and talk about things that we've spoken about previously in the show, so we'll leave it for the last 20 minutes because we've got a long transfer rumors list speculations to
let's go to Milan because we've been quite active in the transfer market.
Let's go to Milan.
Look at the smile on his
face.
Let's
go to Milan. Oh, yeah, no worries.
So Diaz had a great game against Modena. Giroud. Just saying.
Ibrahim Diaz was there last season, though.
Yeah, but he's in the number 10.
He had a great game against
Modena. We just went like this to him. Inter can have him. And now Diaz can come in. But, and we were talking about it before, Julian Brandt. He would be a very good signing.
Julian Brandt, I saw from my living room playing Champions League football with Borussia Dortmund, linking up with Sancho, linking up with Haaland. The guy is a baller.
He's a good player.
And he's like a 6'3" baller.
Yeah.
He's tall, very good on the ball, very calm, very composed. He's another player that would like just – man, if you need a square plug for a square hole, he is that guy. He just fits in, you know?
Yeah, he just fits, man. Yeah,
you know, there'll be no need for him to change anything of the way he plays. He will fit right in. He's fantastic. So I think that's an amazing signing if they happen to get him.
I hope so.
Milan, obviously, with a lot of rumours, there was Isco, Coutinho, those – obviously, the two biggest. I mean, I love both those players. Coutinho, I really like. Amazing player. Isco, unbelievable technical player.
Definitely.
Very similar to Brandt, but Isco and Coutinho, a different name.
Definitely.
Chiming in here. Michael, he's gone to training now, so he's had to leave the live stream. He's going to watch when he gets home.
Okay.
But he says, Forza Italia, and it's gone to Rome.
Oh, fair enough.
Michael.
We just got to remind the English that
it's
in Rome.
Did he sleep through the lockdown or something? It's gone to Rome, happened a few weeks
ago. No, we're still celebrating.
We're still celebrating.
We don't stop.
Yeah.
But actually, this is a very good one that I was talking to his boys before about. Jovinko was meant to go to PAOK in Greece.
It was apparently
like pretty much signed, still delivered, but it hadn't been. This morning I woke up and it fell through.
Mm.
So now Venezia is back on the cards for Jovinko.
That'll be huge.
I would have loved to see him back in Serie A.
I'll tell you what, prime Jovinko, new Venezia kit.
That would be
releasing.
Cool.
Kappa down the sleeve.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Tight kappa or loose kappa?
Depends what shape you're in.
Traditionally, they've always been
Giovinco
the tighter
grows his hair long, puts the short shin pads.
Nah.
Puts the short shin pads.
I'll tell you that now, but if he does sign, I think you'll see the Venezia kit on us in the future.
With the 10. Hopefully he's wearing the 10 as well, Giovinco.
So, yeah, no name at the back.
No,
he's playing Serie A now.
That'll be a top signing, I think, for them. And they're in talks with Niang as well, ex-Milan.
I think I can't wait to watch them. Yeah, honestly, cannot wait to watch them.
Mm.
So, yeah,
and their kids getting released tomorrow, you were saying?
I believe tomorrow, yeah. I think it's 29th and 30th. So it's a home and the away.
It's going to be very interesting. DePaul, as we said, had a great Copa America.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone to Atletico Madrid. Great player.
Well deserved. I've been a big fan for a long 100%. Time. A long time. I used to watch Udinese just for him, really.
Yeah, he's a great player. I'm happy for him as well. You know, he's got a big move. He deserved it. He was loyal to Udinese. They, like, helped him become the player he was. But he, you know, when there was rumours, he never was one of those players that was like, I'm leaving, I'm not training. He always put his head down, worked. He's got his move. And now... Yeah.
Made the difference in the Copa America the final as well. Got the assist.
Yeah, definitely. He did, yeah. The ball was
had a very good tournament. Him and Paredes. You were saying. They, I think, too, were very important for the way Argentina set up and played in that tournament.
Paredes has been playing very well for PSG. Definitely. Unbelievable player.
Another one, I actually cannot wait for the Rome derby. Mourinho versus Sarri. I cannot wait.
This is going to be...
Because there's a lot of pressure on Mourinho. I don't know. Like, he's gone to a few jobs now and he's left on very, you know, like, weird circumstances. The club has been in all sorts. So.
But you know what? He always leaves as the special one.
Yes, that's true, but... Like, for me,
someone's got something to say. He's always got another thing to say about it.
I look at it like the window sort of, man. If he keeps doing this, how many more jobs is he going to get?
Correct.
You know what I mean?
It's almost as though, like, if he doesn't make it happen here.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? He's put on a show as well on the Vespa, getting around the fans. I love it. It's good.
I love it as well.
But, you know, now do the business.
So. I think I can't wait to see Zaniolo back as well. He's like a new signing for them.
Yeah, literally.
He's been out for so long.
Literally.
He's just become a father as well, I think. So he should be like ready to go.
What's that gonna do?
What do you mean? If you had a kid,
that's what I'm missing from my game.
Yeah, you need
that's
a kid.
That's what I'm missing. That's why I'm not ready to go.
Your mate, like Paulo Martinez said yesterday in an interview.
Your mate.
My mate.
He goes, he had a baby and it changed him. He hasn't got any yellow cards now, he's more mature, so that's what it does to him.
Maybe you need a kid.
Oh, I don't play anymore, so I don't need
mature
no kids.
Now.
As long as I'm the godfather.
He's only having one sugar in his coffee, you know?
Yeah.
Big changes.
Let's go Allegri back. We'll talk a bit about that, but honestly, I think that's going to be huge for... that's going to be huge for Juventus. Sorry, I'm just trying to do two things at once. But anyway,
sorry, my bad. I'll put it in front of you. Sorry about that.
So, what do you reckon of Allegri?
I think he's going to make the difference. Like we were saying before,
he's already
put his foot down. In his interview yesterday, there was a question from the media about Bonucci possibly becoming captain, and he shut it down so quickly. He literally said. Now he left us, he's come back. He's at the bottom of the pecking order now. Like, if he wants to become captain, he can go buy an armband from the shop and play in the piazza. So, like, he's not mucking around. And he means business. Like, you can definitely see, like I was saying before, you know, when you see the little training clips come up on Facebook of the Juve's most recent whatever. Sure. Man, you can say he's really, really after... A big finish, yeah.
Different vibe again.
He's going to make a massive impact.
He came out and said he turned Real Madrid down to take this job because he loves Juventus.
It means something to him, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on it, yeah. And going a bit off topic, actually, we're talking about these few shows ago, Argentina versus Italy, the game that they were trying to organize.
Yes.
Yeah, we just got a comment.
I think that'd be amazing if it happened, but there's no news as of yet if it's confirmed. Or I don't think, have you heard anything? As of yet,
nothing.
Apart from what we've already know. It's not anyway. FIFA approved it and whatever.
Joe Football UK are not talking about it.
No.
It's not
Premier League, you know, it didn't happen.
BR Football not talking about it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that would be an amazing thing to happen. So hopefully. I think, anyway, I want to talk about Hakimi leaving Inter. I think that's a massive loss.
Huge. I think when Hakimi came in, he made a difference at Inter for sure, I believe. It was like having, I don't know, the guy's unbelievable how quick he is. I loved watching battles whenever we played Milan as well.
Yeah, it was great.
To watch Hernandez versus Hakimi.
The two best fullbacks in the league, I think.
It's really sad to see him go, to be honest. I think we had him set in that position that was his. He made it his. It's almost as though, not that we set it up around him. I mean, he's a fullback.
Oh, of course.
But... He became such an outlet for the team that, you know, he was such a main player for Inter. And then for him to leave, and we've got to start again in that position that we struggled to find someone as good as him for so long. You know, before him, I think of like Maicon, you know.
Yeah.
And we're talking about world class now.
Yeah.
So it's hard to fill that position again.
Yeah, it's hard to replace a player like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, like I said, I'm disappointed, but...
Even if you look at, like, for example, you give show Barcelona as an example, you know, like they've had Jordi Alba at left back for a long time, but even still to replace Dani Alves at right back, and he played for PSG, played for Juventus in between that time, they still have not been able to really replace that player.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony's just saying here, Allegri hungry for that Champions League. I think that's the main objective. It has to be after all the Scudettos they've won.
It was unlucky in 2015.
I think it's probably it's probably played a big role in him coming back. Yeah, you know, still licking his wounds, maybe. Like.
Definitely.
But
two
also,
finals,
like,
I think they lost, didn't they?
Yeah, there was two finals they lost, but he come up against like possibly the best Barcelona side seen in a long time. You know,
100%. But anyway, it's been good to talk about transfers for a bit. We'll be back after a break to talk about all things football.
Della rete, Andrea Pirlo,
Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma,
battuta 1-0.
You're listening to Calcio Talk on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Forza Italia! Welcome back to Calcio Talk, right here on FNR. So, boys, I wanted to talk about something. It's quite an interesting topic. I know we've all played a lot of football. We're talking about like some superstitions, some habits, some routines. Ali, you want to start? What sort of habits? I know you're quite superstitious, so I want to know some of the ins and outs.
I used to be really bad. I think my girlfriend would still say, and my parents, anyone that lives with me would still say that I'm pretty bad. But I used to be worse, a lot worse. But now, you know, like playing state leagues or whatever, I reckon I'm still pretty bad. At the moment, like, I don't know, I think once you find a routine on like match day or whatever and it works for you, it's hard to like stray away from that, I believe, anyway. Yeah. You know, what you eat, what time you eat and all the rest of it. Always go for a walk at around 11 o'clock if I'm playing at 3. Have a stretch. I get my bag ready the night before in the same order. I don't know, in the change room, I make sure I always tie my left boot up first. I do, like, everything on the left side first. So I put all my socks on, left side, then right, then shorts, then boots. I think they're the main ones at the moment that I know. I always say a prayer. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's always been something. It's more like a meditation sort of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
It gets me focused, I guess. They're the main ones at the moment. But, yeah.
How about you, Danny?
About me?
You got any,
there's an undergarment that, like, if I was playing and, like, I felt I played well and especially if we win and you start winning in a row, I'd always want to wear that same undergarment underneath, even if it was like...
Would you wash it?
Of course.
Okay. Thank God.
But I had to... Yeah. No, I wasn't that bad. But I had to wear that same undergarment. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the skins? Long sleeve?
Yeah.
Even if it was summer and I'd started wearing a long sleeve one...
You'd have to keep wearing it.
And it went, I want to keep wearing it. Yeah. I always had that kind of superstition. Stepping onto the court or the pitch, I go my right foot first.
Oh, I'll go left foot. Yeah.
That, for me, that was my right foot. Sorry?
Yeah, over the line.
Yeah, over the line. Yeah. And if it was out of time, I'd skip and put the right foot first. Yeah, I always do that one. Espresso before the game.
Yeah.
Espresso before the game.
Yeah.
I'd always have to eat 3 hours before the game.
Yep.
I need at least minimum 10 hours sleep before the game before.
10 hours?
Jesus. Yeah, I like 10 hours.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
The day before as well, do absolutely nothing.
Oh, right. So I'm different like that.
No training, no nothing. Really? Do absolutely nothing. Yeah. Just rest the body completely.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of stretching and stuff, I'd have to feel like I always got to do all my stretches. I have to do the fascial release with a spiky ball.
You do it all in the same order?
Yeah. Everything in the same order.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, and I'd always be like, far out, I haven't done it this week, so something could happen.
See, I've always been like that as well.
Yeah.
But lately, I've said no, like enough.
Well, yeah, you're better than this. Because it is.
You're bigger
crazy.
Than this. Just calm down.
Nah, the Euros was bad. Right. But that it all came back to me in the Euros.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it all came back.
Well, I mean, Maddie hasn't played for a while.
I haven't played like outdoor for a long time, and like football, I'm more relaxed about playing it. I don't like have the same sort
of
energy. You know what I mean? The anxiety.
Yeah,
but,
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? But like. With the Euros, like the final, I remember I was sleeping at my girlfriend's the night before and we'll go into the game together and I forgot my good luck underwear that I worn the whole tournament. No, I've washed them.
I understand.
Same top, same everything. I literally drove home, got them out of the wash basket, put them through the washing machine and brought them to our house to put in the dryer so I could wear. And we did win, so it worked. So now I'm probably going to be like this for the small one. But yeah, it was bad. It was very bad during the Euros. I know Ali, we were wearing the same thing from... Yeah. Match day one to match day the final was always the same.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if Saka had scored that last penalty and you'd not worn the underwear, you'd be spewing.
Yeah.
You'd be spewing.
100%.
Yeah. You know, like, you'd feel like, yeah, it was this.
Little things like that. But I noticed that I'm the opposite to you. When I was playing, it was the right, everything right first.
Yeah.
Always the right. And then I never liked to step on the lines going onto the pitch. Yeah. It was very like, just, I'd get like anxiety about it. If I did. Well, you know, you don't do it, or you forget to like do it. You just like that's all you think about until like it was. It's not healthy because if you don't do it, it ruins your whole mentality.
Ruins your whole preparation.
You can't be like that. You know, I've noticed like recently. I'm just like, no, enough.
It is. It's a battle with yourself. You know, like you were saying with Bruno 100% in your head.
It is. Bruno.
It's like that.
You got a Bruno in your head. Yeah, that's right, Luca.
Exactly right.
It's sort of eats you alive. Sort of.
I think that's right. But
I think when you have an injury. Yeah. That's when these things happen. Because it's what changes you. Because
100%.
I even know myself. Like, I could probably just go out and just run around and start kicking the ball and carry on and stuff like that. Because I do it in the summertime. Granted, it's warmer.
Mm.
But I do it in the summertime, barefoot, just kick around on the grass with a ball, whatever. I don't warm up before that.
Yeah.
I don't stretch before that.
Yeah.
But if I go and I know I'm about to play or do any training... I'm like, okay, I got to go through my warm-up. And I do my warm-up, I do my stretching, I do my activation. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I've got to get there half an hour early. I can't just be one of these people. You know those people that just rock up and it can be futsal or football and they're literally like they're putting the last sock on
and
as they put the shoe on, they're tying their lace on the court and it's time to play.
No.
I can't do that. I'm not that person.
No. I know, you share the same view, but I don't know about you, Danny, but when we used to play – as we got like injured, as we got older, definitely I paid more attention. But I hated warm ups like with a passion.
I still can't.
Why is that?
I just found them so boring. Like I just want the ball. Like you know,
that
20 minutes, and then they open the gate.
It is horrible.
Man, I don't want to open the gate.
But this year also, what you're talking about, I was exactly the same until I started doing just like my own warm up, or I lead the warm up because obviously playing futsal, the teams I've been in, I've always gone, hey, I'll lead the warm up. You know, it makes it much easier. But there was times when I was playing outdoor football and obviously the coach prepares a warm-up and, mate, it's just running and, like, why?
You're tired before the game
you
starts.
Just, all you need is a sweat.
Yeah, it's
all you need is a sweat, you know?
Exactly right. And I think what changed, same with you, when we had the abductor injuries, it was a lot of focus on prehab and, you know, rehab and all that, which pre-activation stuff, which really changed my mentality towards it.
I think even more so for me, it was my knee.
And your knee, also.
Yeah.
Coming good from it. So it was an ACL injury. Coming good from it, you know, the physio gave me a little routine to do before a match, training, whatever it was. And, like, it's been over 2 years now, but I still do it. I still strap my knee. But it's totally fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
But it is all up here. Look, I'll give you an example. Like, if you take a smaller injury. So recently I had peroneal tendonitis, okay, on my right foot. I think I told you boys about this. Now, when it happened, I was like, oh, my God, like, what's going on with my leg? What's wrong with my foot? And then the osteo said, look, do this, and after every time you train, ice your foot. Man, I reckon I iced my foot for, like, 6 weeks after. I didn't need to, but I'd – feel if I didn't ice it, the pain was going to come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And because literally within 3 days it was fine and I could feel it there, but it wasn't stopping me from training or playing or doing anything else I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So the ice really, it may be removing inflammation, but it's redundant because, you know, inflammation can be removed when you sleep. If you get enough sleep, inflammation goes down. Now, there was one day where I forgot to ice my foot. And I went out to train and I was out warming up and doing everything and I was, it came to my head. I was like, I didn't ice my foot last night.
That's the worst feeling.
It was, but then afterwards I trained all right and everything was fine. Okay. And I was like, oh, it's all right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That can happen sometimes as well, yeah. You know? Yeah. Another one is skins. You know the undergarments like yeah. for the shorts?
Yeah.
I have to wear a pair of them now.
Really?
I can't go without them. Yeah, since I've had hamstring injuries, I just feel like I have to. Yeah. Now, again, in summer, I'll dive into the swimming pool, hop out, juggle a ball, do a scissor kick, land on my back, you know, like swaz it off the wall. As soon as I'm going to training or play a game or do anything where I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to be playing against other people, got to be wearing skins.
Yeah.
Have to be wearing skins. Yeah, it is just psychological.
Yeah,
100%. Double socks. I think you're a fan of that. Like, not the wide sock underneath, but I cannot play unless I have understocks. Like, I don't know. I feel
As in like a gym sock and then the
cut? I have to wear like a normal sock underneath my soccer sock. Or two pairs, like, you know what I'm saying? So always two socks.
But does a soccer sock have the actual sock part for your foot?
Nah, just it couldn't be.
It's cut.
He's got the full sock.
So full sock.
Oh, yeah. So
and
foot.
One underneath.
And then one underneath. Yeah, yeah.
I try without it, but I just don't feel comfortable. I feel like.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't feel tight.
I used to do that when I was younger.
I don't know what it is, but I've done it for my whole career. I don't know why I did it, but anyway, I found it so hard to go back, you know what I mean?
This is what you're talking about. Yeah. I got used to the feeling of it.
Yeah.
The reason why it happened to me, I was 11 years old, and my nonna actually that year bought me Copa Mundials, and at first I wore them with one pair of socks, and they were fine. Then they blew out. They became like boats. And my dad said, just put two socks. So really? He goes, just put two socks. Put a second pair of socks. Away we went.
Yeah.
No worries. And so then I was obviously playing in boots, they're too big for me. But because I was playing in two pairs of socks, it felt okay.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, like it was one of those things again. Yeah. You just felt, I'll put one sock today. I forgot my second sock and went out there and you're like, it's all right.
No, see, that's something I don't think I'll ever change. No, it's one of those. Yeah.
Actually, something just come to my head now. We're talking about boots. I want to get your boys' opinions.
Mm.
Your favorite boot of all time.
Ooh.
That I've worn.
Just in the history of boots. One that you've worn and one that maybe you haven't worn that you want to wear. Because I think this is interesting.
My favorite boot that I've worn. Jeez.
I'll put you on the spot now, but
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
I've always been a massive fan of Vapors. Always.
Yeah, you have. You've always been on Mercurial top.
Yeah, so I think. Which ones are my favorite?
There's a lot.
You know which ones I loved? I think it was like 08. When Ronaldo, like, was at United.
The white sock, Ronaldo?
Yeah. The lime green ones I had with the cover over the laces.
Oh, yeah.
And they inside, they had the spongy things.
Yeah, they felt so crap. Yeah, like, they were uncomfortable. Man, you'd come off, your feet are bleeding and everything. Yeah. Like, it was so, they were just the most uncomfortable things ever. But they looked
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
What about you, Danny?
About me? I've got to be very careful with this comment.
You do, yeah. I just realised.
No, I'm fine. I can talk about it. I don't mind. I've actually worn a lot of boots. I would say the best boots that I've worn, I would say either Tiempo.
Yeah, I love Tiempo as well.
Leather Adizero, 2010.
Mm.
Yeah. I had the black pair.
You had them as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That boot.
The Adizero as well. I went to a stage of them.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The leather ones were unbelievable. Because they were leather, soft, and so light.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I liked them. I actually wore a pair of, they were called 1970s from Pele. I wore them. That was at I think
the
it was
Pele brand?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a pair of them. They were heavy, but they were really, really nice, like the leather. And then most recently, I'd probably have to say the Future 6.1, which is the ones before these Futures that have come out now.
The Puma, yeah.
So the Future Z is the one that Neymar wearing at the moment.
Yeah.
But the Future prior to that, 5.1 and 6.1, they were super, super comfortable because the whole boot was made from NetFit and it was light, but it was also just in terms of feeling like, you know, like when you run for a long time in it or if you're training for a long time, you didn't feel the boot at all, at all, you know?
Actually.
There was no wear in time.
Now I'm remembering all the boots I wore, and I know you're a big fan as well. The Hypervenoms.
The Hypervenoms are a very good boot.
Yeah, I've got the Phantoms now, but they're not.
Were they comfortable though?
Yeah, they were unbelievable.
Yeah,
my favorites actually.
The Futsal shoes were very comfortable. Futsal shoes were very good of the Hypervenom. I did like them.
I'll tell you another one that just popped into my head. I know you will like these. The CTRs. Do you remember the CTRs?
Yes.
They were an amazing boot. I remember I went to a stage. I think every single boot for like 2 years straight. It was just a new colorway of CTRs.
I do remember that.
They were the Fabregas boot, weren't they?
Yeah.
was like one of my favourite players at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember I had the, I think when Spain won the World Cup, do you remember the pack, the orange and silver?
Yes.
Yeah,
I had those.
Yes,
it was.
Those ones. First yep. And then the Hopper Venom actually mean earlier. Have you heard of Toots Boot on UK? Toots Boot UK, they black out like the boots.
Oh, yes.
We actually bought all these Hyper Venoms on sale and we created our own colourways. So we blacked them out like we made.
That's dope.
With the green tick, like, and we still got the videos, I think, that when we did them. But
I still got them in my garage.
We still got the boots, yeah.
And that's just so cool.
So, like, think for me, I was like, we were bootaholics. So I don't know what the name
nerds.
Is.
But nerds. On Soccer Bible every day or like,
literally,
yeah.
What's coming
yeah.
out? What's coming out?
That's no, what, I love that. I follow it all as well. Yeah. Like, footy headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone's on footy headlines, yeah, especially if you're waiting or anticipating the release of a boot. And, of course, like, with what I do now and my involvement with Puma, I always like to look ahead see what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think that just becomes a part of like player culture, really.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And especially because as, well, I can say definitely as I grew up, because I think you guys are a different generation to me. You know, you're the generation after myself.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, boots really changed. Mm. Like when I was at high school, there was no such thing really as fake boots. You know, lower tiers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no such thing as lower tiers.
Yeah.
And I remember having a pair of navy blue Tiempo, and that was different then. Like having a pair of navy blue, you know? Everyone else just had black or white, you know?
Yeah.
I always had leather boots. And then as I got to about 18, 19, the boots started to change colors.
Yeah.
They started to be released every year. Because there was a time when, like, for instance, Preds came out. They released the Predator. There was no other Predator for like another 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
100%.
So they started to come every year. Now the boots are coming out every three months.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
New packs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New colorways.
Well, I love it. I love it, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. But it was very hard to have a kind of boot culture, I suppose.
100%.
Yeah. When it's like, have you got this boot? Yeah, I got that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Even saying that, remember when we used to rock up early days? Like, if you were in a coloured boot, you were no, you know what I mean? There was still a bit of that. Now, you've got little kids with pink boots, whatever, it's easy.
Oh, now,
but even us, I know we're a bit younger, but still, even now, I remember our generation, when we rocked up, I remember the pink Vapors or whatever.
The Ribberies.
And all them. So it's amazing how, also when you're younger, I think you just go for style. Like those Vapors you're saying, But as you get older, I know me, myself now.
I'll
wear the Nike Premiers because they're comfortable or the Deodoras because they're leather. Whereas when I was younger, I didn't care if I walked off. I used to wear the boots two sizes too big, too small because they would just like look too nice. I didn't care.
It's funny you say that because like obviously I get to try every silo from Puma. So there's the Kings, there was Puma Ones previously, Future and Ultra. Now, before I started with the having boots sent to me. It didn't matter how my feet felt. I didn't really care. Like you're saying, I just wanted to wear that boot, you know? And you get blisters. Man, I had blisters that were so bad that they literally like – it was almost like a red sore, like the size of my heel on the back of my heel.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad saying, going, oh, those boots must have been really good. And I'm like, just wearing them in.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wearing them in.
Yeah,
it's like the boots were horrible, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in like in terms with the Puma now, I wear the Future Z simply because of comfort. Yeah. Yes, the colours are cool.
Of course, yeah.
But it's whatever it's feels comfort, most comfortable.
100%.
You know? And whatever you like, like the wrap around your foot or the fit, et cetera, et cetera.
What was your first pair?
My first pair, I've told you.
What was it?
It was a Deodoro.
The Badger,
With the Badger signature on. Yeah, we spoke about that.
I had these black Lottos with the little Italian flag on
the I know the ones. Do you know what? I had a pair of futsal. They were called Lotto Albertini. They were Dimitro Albertini. I'm pretty sure this is the same ones you're talking about because they had that Italian flag on the Lotto.
Yeah, it was a green one or the white?
White,
yeah. They're the first indoors I had.
There was even a pair of indoors that I had when I was like 17. Silver Lottos. They look like the Zahiro. Remember them?
Yeah, Zero Gravities.
Yeah, they were great. They were awesome.
But these were called Sheva because at that time, I think Shevchenko wore the Lotto.
Yeah.
So. Nah, let us know your favourite boot in the comments and we might have a chat next segment. A
bit more boot chat.
I'll chime in.
Yeah, jump in.
Lotto used to make the best futsal boots. They used to make these ones that were kangaroo leather and they were the only good leather futsal boot. Because when you talk about the tiers that they have.
Yeah.
the futsal boots were always the lowest tier with a rubber, like, gum sole stuck on them. And Lotto was the only brand for a while that they had at Rebel or whatever that was actually a specific futsal shoe, and it wasn't just a indoor version of an outdoor boot. And it was a kangaroo leather. It was silver, and I think it had, like, green writing on it. I think I bought three pairs of those in a row because they were the best futsal shoes ever. And your first touch was so good in them because the leather was so soft. It was as good as.
Yeah, yeah. Not because your first touch was good.
No. Seriously. Like, I went from a pair of basically like plastic, whatever, you know, Ronaldo was wearing at the time to like kangaroo leather, and your touch is so much better.
It's
so much more forgiving because it just absorbs the force of the ball.
It makes a big difference. Footwear makes a massive difference. People don't understand. Like, even if you don't have sore feet in a said pair of boots, as soon as you put on a great pair of boots, you know the difference.
Yeah, 100%.
I think as well what you're saying with like all these new boots coming out constantly. Like, personally, I found it hard recently to find a boot for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you find one and then new generation's coming out, it's gone.
You know what else I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever played in your one, but you start getting like these stereotypes about boots. Like, nah, I'm a midfielder. I have to wear them.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? And you feel a bit awkward. Like, why am I wearing them? I'm a centre midfielder.
That is called
100%.
Unbelievable marketing.
You know what I mean? But then you see your favourite players. But yeah, anyway.
Let me tell you. Like,
talk all day here about boots.
Tiempo was super cool in 2006 to about 2008. Super cool. Totti, Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Pirlo, I think like Cassano was wearing a pair. Like, the players that wore them, like, unbelievable.
I'll never forget those gold ones they made after we won the World Cup in 06.
They were nicer. Yeah.
I'll pay $1,000 for them, but. Yeah.
With the blue? With the blue?
No, the gold. And then the blue, and they had at the back the Italian flag.
Yeah.
They made the vapors.
Well, they did a whole line. They did vapors.
We were young at the time. Otherwise, I would have snapped them up. Anyway, we'll go to a break and be back after the break. So let us know anything you want us to talk about in the comments, and we'll have some interactions.
Andrea Pirlo!
Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma!
You're listening to Calcio Talk on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Calcio Talk. All right, let's talk all things. What do we got here? World Cup Adidas best boots.
World Cups. World Cups or Copa Mundial?
I think the World Cups were the...
I know which ones.
They were the screw-ins.
The screw-ins?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the medals.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
They actually...
1970s. Yeah.
Didn't they do a remake of the Coppers in like Flyknit or something recently?
Yeah, they did. Prime-Knit.
I think I saw Prime-Knit.
Well, they still have a Copper.
Of course, they still make it.
It's
but they
very different now.
Modern day version.
Yeah.
I was never a big fan.
No.
Only because I have a narrow foot. Yeah. And I found that one time I wore them, I was... My foot was moving around.
You had them, I remember.
I had them 1 year and I wasn't a fan.
Oh, really? Like they were made for more wide feet and you're...
Yeah, I'm more
too narrow. Yeah.
I wasn't a fan. That's why I liked the tempos and stuff.
Yeah,
because I want more narrow feet.
Yeah, no, and if they get wet, it's like you run around with like bricks on.
Yeah, they get heavy. Yeah. It's true.
One thing I want to ask actually going into the season now that we know a bit more of the dynamics of each team, there's still going to be some changes, but how do we see this year's Serie A panning out, like in terms of... You know, who's going to be up there? Who do you think is going to be the surprise team?
It's always hard at this point. And we do the same thing every season, and we say the same thing every season before we make these predictions.
But that's what we
do. I think it's hard to look past Juve at the moment, as much as I hate to say it, 100%. Because I can't stand them, just quietly. But they look good. So, reading on paper.
Yeah, of course.
Do you think it's going to be the usuals? Juve, Inter... AC Milan, Lazio.
Atalanta will be up there.
I think,
again.
But Atalanta have been up there the last couple
of
seasons.
100%.
I hope to see Venezia as far up as
they can
get.
Yeah, of course. Salernitana's back in Serie A. And also, I think it'll be good if there could be five or six teams challenging. Not just, you know, you have your one, you know, Inter, Juve, whatever. Milan.
Even Lazio.
It'll be good if everyone can really make a push for it and make it really interesting.
The 2020 season was like that. The 1920 season, where I think Lazio was at the top for a bit,
it was
and then it
open.
Paused for COVID. That was very close.
I honestly reckon If they didn't, I honestly thought Lazio was going to go on. They had the momentum, the crowd. They had informed players.
Immobile was the Ballon d'Or that year as well. It was unbelievable.
I genuinely think they could have won that year.
They just never recovered after 100%. COVID.
Playing behind closed doors. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine, honestly. I watch football, like, as we all do now, but it's so miserable watching games like without fans. Like, can you imagine as a player doing that week in, week out? Like,
I don't know. I can't get used to it.
It'd be very hard.
You know what I mean?
I know it's not normal, but even now, like, you look at the Olympics. You've performed. You've trained 4 years of your life. You've waited, and then you don't perform, and there's no one there. There's no atmosphere. There's no emotion.
That's one thing that's super tough as well. Like, you're watching the swimmers, for instance. Like that. The young girl who's just beaten the American, twice now. She's won the 200 this morning as well.
Yeah.
So she has two gold medals.
Ariane Titmus,
yeah. And her parents are here in Australia. Yeah. She's there in Tokyo.
That's
tough, man.
100%.
Because it's something you train for your whole life. And part of the dream up here is you, like, into the crowd or, you know, hugging your parents.
Yeah.
That's.
It's like the Euros.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Euros were...
Mind you, not in Hungary.
That's exactly what I was
about to say. As in, most of the families travel to Wembley, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Tino here says, Juve might need a centre-forward that scores a lot more goals. They got Morata as well. We forgot about him.
Yeah. And Ronaldo. And
Kulusevski, Dybala.
I think
I think we'll see Ronaldo become the focal point.
Yeah.
Again? Season,
I think. Like, the main striker,
like the man at top, as an actual number nine, or you think just a
and what they're going to other guys are going to play behind him?
Yep.
I believe you could be right.
I mean, he's how old is he?
36, 7?
37?
7? I don't know.
That's crazy.
He would be 36.
So yeah,
maybe he's better suited in that role this season. I don't know. We'll see.
I think if they can get Pjanic back, which is from everything I've been reading, it looks pretty promising that they're going to get him back. And I'm assuming they're going to maybe loan Ramsey out or something. And I think Allegri, I was reading, likes Rabiot. And he goes, he wants him to be much more of a goal scorer going forward because he can offer a lot.
He can score goals.
So I think for them, mainly, I think their midfield, if they can, you know, get a bit of creativity, a bit more, I don't know, it's like a bit more, what's the best way to put it? Like dynamism, some pace. I love that word. But just some... For me, their midfield is very static. Like, when I see them, it's just
that was their
the same type of player all across the midfield. There's no, you know, box-to-box type player.
Yeah.
Some that will go in there and press. Like,
break a line.
You look
at,
like, in the Euros, like, you had Barella, Jorginho, Verratti. Yeah? There's a different mixture. It's like
everyone complements each other.
Whereas I looked at Juve the last two seasons, very it's static. The same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's something they're going to have to work on.
Yeah.
But, and that's a good point what Emilio makes. If Locatelli comes in, it's all over.
To Juve.
Or Pogba, as Tino said. But I think if Locatelli goes there,
yeah,
they're going to be absolutely unbelievable. Because I think Allegri's got a point to prove.
Just said there, we had the comment about Pogba.
Yeah.
Is he going to PSG? Or is he going to Juve? Or is he going to stay?
I reckon he's going to stay, honestly. That's
you think he's going to stay at Man United?
I think.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I haven't heard anything concrete.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Of course, there's nothing concrete, but... He's refusing to sign at United, isn't he?
With an agent that he has. Like, don't get me wrong, he's very good at his job.
He loves the drama, though.
He loves the drama.
Yeah, they stir up a bit .
He gets a maximum profit for every single player that he represents, but...
Correct.
Yeah, he loves the drama. So,
yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Just on PSG,
mm-hmm.
if they don't win the Champions League...
Just fold as a football club. That's it.
I actually think they're going to win the PSG. They're going to call it the PSG League afterward.
Yeah.
I actually think they're going to win the Champions League. I believe they will. Yeah, 100%. Because look, like last season, watching PSG play, when they got from the semi-final into the final, especially missing certain players, like I think Marquinhos, did he play the semi or did he play the, he missed the final?
I think so.
There might have been something he missed. As soon as you took one player out of that mix, defensively, like it was shambles.
Yeah.
It was just all over the shop. And then you had Neymar and Mbappe versus the world.
Yeah.
So whereas now, Hakimi, Sergio Ramos,
they're stacked, man.
Donnarumma.
Yeah.
Then you've got on top of that. Yeah. Well, Wijnaldum in the middle, but then you've got on top of that Kimpembe, Marquinhos,
Verratti.
Yeah, Verratti, exactly. Like in terms of defensive mind of...
That's
sorry?
A crazy team.
Joke. Yeah, it's a joke of a team.
When you think about it, you're
literally,
like...
they're going to put 8 defensive-minded players on the park, Mbappe and Neymar. Hmm. That's forgetting, like, Di Maria. I don't know. Is Icardi moving?
Actually, that's
a bit there was some talk about Icardi moving, huh?
To Roma, Juve, yeah. There's a lot of talk about
yeah.
that.
A lot of talk of him coming back to
Italy. I can't see him staying, yeah. Like, as in, if he's not going to play, like, for me, if I'm Icardi, I know his agent's Wanda. Don't know why she's his agent. But that's another story. Yeah. She's a bit of a dropkick, but anyway. anyway, I like you, Wanda. That's all right. Anyway, yeah.
You're in a hole.
Honestly, I think he'd be a good fit at Roma. Because I can't see him playing at Juve if they've already got Morata and Ronaldo, Dybala.
All I'm going to say is if he comes to the San Siro,
he's going
to
cop it.
It's going to be mayhem.
Yeah, he won't go back to the Inter. He won't go back to Inter.
No, as in even if he's playing at Roma.
I want to see him play against Maxi Lopez again.
Oh, God.
Why would you want to see that?
I just want to see him get bashed. I think with another interesting team, Sassuolo, they're going to probably lose a fair few players. Locatelli is obviously probably going to leave. I know Berardi is in talks, you know, they could leave. Even Belotti is probably going to get another move somewhere, I'm assuming, you know, these type of players. So Sassuolo's had a good few years. And now Zerbi's gone, new manager coming in. If they lose these players, that's going to be interesting.
It'll be hard, but react. Financially, they'll be in a decent position. So
while we're talking about this, Di Lorenzo, right back. He plays at Napoli.
Yeah, re-signed.
Oh, he re-signed.
Re-signed to 26.
Okay, well, he's out of that question. Insigne, is he going to leave?
He becomes a free.
He does,
does he?
In June.
Oh, so, wow.
Next season, yeah?
So that'll be very interesting to see what happens there.
Because I actually felt that Di Lorenzo and Insigne will move, especially after the Euro they had.
Mm.
Even Spinazzola, like, if he didn't get injured, I reckon he would have got a
move
as well.
Weren't Real Madrid courting him at one stage? Yeah. Like, they were watching, they were having interest, and then... Obviously, he had this injury.
Yeah, no, if I think if like Roma in form and playing well, and then they add him into that team,
I think that, man,
that could be very dangerous as well. If they tactically, because they're going to be set up well.
Yeah.
If Mourinho can set them up well,
I think that's the minimum. Strengths. That's the minimum you get out of Mourinho. I think you know
you're going to be defensively solid,
set up well. But yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, anyway, I think it's about it today because. Football's a bit stale at the moment, but it's been a great show.
We've done our best.
It's been a great show, nonetheless.
I just yawned, man. That's you said football's stale. It's just a big yawn there.
No, but honestly, I can't wait for football to be back. I think when's the preseason tournament starting? Like the next few weeks, shouldn't it? Because the season starts August 20th, isn't it? Or
It's not far away.
The
international,
the little cups that they play. Those type of things.
I know there's not. I don't know if they're going to have them, man. Because it's like, look, there's the Euros, the Olympics, then there's the league, then there's a World Cup.
Yeah. I can't wait.
You know?
Next year.
That's a good part, but it's bad for the players, I guess, because they don't get the rest, but for us.
Pedri, by this time next year, would have paid about 300 games.
Yeah, he's going to look 40 years old, man. Class player, but.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, anyway, we'll see everyone next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Ciao, boys.
Ciao.
Andrea Pirlo!
Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma!
Battistuta, 1-0!
Balotelli segnato!
You're listening to Calcio Talk on FNR, Football Nation Radio.